So, Good Friday. If you are visiting with us, we want to give you a great big warm welcome and thank you for taking the time to join with us this morning at One Heart Church and pray that this morning's service will be impactful and life-changing for where you're at. So, Good Friday. It brings us back to the very central point of the Christian life, that we are born again because Jesus died in our place. That's the whole Christian story. So I don't know where you've come from or what your ideas are, but it is a total misrepresentation of the gospel story if you have believed that to be a Christian is all about my lifestyle and my modification of my life. So we do get that, but it's because of a transformation that happens of a spiritual dimension that comes into our heart that changes us from the inside out. But if you've been living this thing, which I've been through this treadmill myself, where I thought to be a good Christian, I have to be good for God. And I always failed. I tell you the truth, I would go to church on Sunday and think, I'm going to try and be good this week. I'd go to work on Monday and wouldn't last until smoko without blowing it. And it's not the way Jesus had designed for us to live. We are victorious. We are called to serve God. However, it is all by the power of Jesus Christ doing things in us, not what we try and do of our own. So our theme, anyhow, for this Easter is priceless. And I tell you, there is no better life than knowing you are born again and that Jesus loves you and has selected you. My hope for you and your family is that you may be fully convinced that in Jesus you have new life. So I don't know if you've ever wrestled with someone. All the girls have. Any girls who have sisters, do you know all about wrestling? But if you've ever wrestled with someone or had a fight, I might only be talking to a very small group of people here, but I don't know if you've ever been at that place in a wrestle and you've had to beg for mercy. Who's been there? Stop, please stop. Well, sin in our lives is an enemy that you have no power over. You might think, "Hey, I've got willpower. I'm able to deal with sin myself." You have no power of your own over sin, and sin will beat you and control you, but it will never give you mercy. Maybe there's someone here today, and you've been thinking, "Hey, my life is really going downhill, going down south fast." And I've sort of been crying out for mercy. And maybe you've been crying out to sin for mercy, saying, please, lay off. Sin's never going to show you mercy. There is one who does, and we're going to see who that is today. But Jesus has shown you great mercy. He's given you grace and mercy to release you from sin's headlock. And one of the greatest things I ever learned in school was how to get out of headlocks. It's like your master plan. But I'll teach you that one day. But Jesus has shown you grace and mercy to release you from sin's headlock. 1 Peter 1 verse 3 is our key verse for this Easter. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that you've been born again. Whose mercy does it come from? It's God's great mercy. And because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation. Can I take a moment just now? I want something to be sparked in you, an enthusiasm in your spirit for an expectation for what Jesus has planned for you this year. And Jesus always has great things planned for our lives, for our families. 1 Peter 1 verse 4 says, and we have a priceless inheritance. And I just want to say that was such a beautiful communion this morning. And there's so many great things that we need to take home with us from that communion message. But we have, it says here in 1 Peter 1 4, a priceless inheritance. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. So through Jesus, you can be born again with a new bloodline because Jesus created a covenant for you with his own blood. See, the good news comes with a promised, priceless inheritance kept in heaven for you. And as we've been singing today, we want to get our focus upon Christ being the center, who has preserved for us a priceless inheritance in heaven. I just want to pause my message for a moment and go back into the elements of the story of Jesus' crucifixion. It says in Matthew chapter 26, verses 14 and 15, "Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priests and asked, 'How much will you pay me to betray Jesus to you?' And they gave him 30 pieces of silver." See, I don't know if you noticed some of the things that happened in this brief little context. It says he went to see the priests, and they were so eager to get Jesus, it says that they paid him immediately. And Judas was, with such an appetite for greed, took the money straight away. I know in most transactions you say, well, we want to get the job done first before we pay. But in this case, there was such an eagerness, such an evil desire to arrest Jesus that they said, he asked, "How much will you pay me?" And they've said, "Here it is." Instantly, they paid him. How could that have happened? How could that be? So Jesus, the most priceless of all, was given up for the most insignificant amount of silver. Really an insignificant amount. But priceless is our Jesus. Priceless is our grace exchange, his sinless life for our sin-filled life. There was a great transaction. So we might think, hey, how could they have, you know, given Judas 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus, who is totally priceless? And what happens is God reverses what Judas did, that he took 30 silver coins, and Jesus was betrayed for that much. And then God took Jesus, the priceless one, the matchless one, the peerless one, the Savior, and he took him as payment for you. God took Jesus as payment for our sinfulness, for our rebellion, for our stupid lives, where often our decisions don't make sense, yet God says, I still love them. And if we think that was a bad exchange rate for Jesus Christ to be paid 30 pieces of silver to be betrayed, it's an even greater transaction for Jesus to pay for you. In many ways, totally worthless for something that is totally priceless. Let's take a look at the cross for a moment this morning. See, the cross that Jesus gave his life upon represents a horrible, torturous, pain-filled death. Yet for those who turn to Jesus, asking forgiveness in repentance, the cross becomes a priceless inheritance of our salvation. That's why people wear crosses. It's a reminder that we have been bought with a price. That's what the cross represents to us. So when God gave the people of Israel the law, going back into the Old Testament for a moment, it included animal sacrifices to cover the sins of people. If we go to the book of Leviticus, chapter 17, verse 11, "For the life of the body is in its blood. I have given you the blood on the altar to purify you, making you right with the Lord. It is the blood given in exchange for a life that makes purification possible." Without that knowledge, without that history, Jesus Christ coming to shed his blood for our sins wouldn't quite make so much sense. It would make no sense. So the law was limited, temporary, and it illustrated until Jesus came to complete God's plan. with the sacrifice of his own blood and body for all people for all time. And that's why Jesus had to sacrifice his blood. A pure, perfect sacrifice was all that could pay the penalty. So Jesus, the most worthy, gave himself for what sin had made worthless. So we need to remind ourselves every day, because we have an enemy, the devil, who will say, your life is worthless. You're no good. You make too many mistakes. You have too much sin. You have too much evil in your heart. And yet Jesus says, despite that, I want to pay the penalty for it. I'll take that penalty. I'll carry that burden. So Romans 5 verses 6 and verse 8, it says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. See, you're valued so much by God. Humanity is valued greatly by God. It says in verse 8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. So we have this assurance that Jesus wasn't waiting for the world to be right before he gave his life. But he said, while they're still in their mess, while they're still in their brokenness, I've come to be their sacrifice. See, sin taints the world through the actions of people. And God came with a remedy that could only be fulfilled by him. Sinless, faultless, guiltless, priceless, Jesus fulfills the willing sacrifice himself for the failure of mankind. I'm going to invite the musicians back for a moment. See, Jesus fulfills prophecy. Last point I want to bring to you this morning is Jesus fulfills prophecy. Just one of the Old Testament books I'm going to look at this morning is the book of Zechariah. Zechariah 9 verse 11. Because of the covenant made with you, sealed with blood, I will free your prisoners from death in a waterless dungeon. See, here there's a prophecy of a blood covenant being made between God and people. See, the blood covenant to free prisoners from death without the Holy Spirit is what they're talking about. Jesus fulfills that prophecy. Zechariah 11 verse 10 talks about the old covenant being revoked. The covenant I spoke about earlier about the without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. And that was like, we got to kill animals. Well, that's what the old law required. But that covenant has been revoked by Jesus and was prophesied, spoke over here in Zechariah. Zechariah 11 verse 12 and 13 tells a direct connection that Jesus will be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver and the money given to the potter, which that's what they did with the money afterwards. They bought a field. Zechariah 12 verse 10 talks about a spirit of grace and prayer will be poured out. And I believe that's the grace of God over the church, over his people, that we have an access to God the Father through prayer, through Christ. It says in 12 verse 10, they will look on me who they pierced. That's direct connection to the spear that they thrust in Jesus' side to see whether or not he was alive or dead. Verse 13, verse 1, talks about a fountain will be opened that cleanses sin. And I want to tell you today that we are the recipients of the fountain of Jesus' blood that cleanses us from all sin, from all of our wrongs against God. Jesus fulfills these, and every other prophecy of the Savior is all fulfilled in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Today is Good Friday, and we remind ourselves that Jesus, the priceless one, was given for our redemption. We can make it personal and say, today on Good Friday, I remind myself that Jesus, the priceless one, was given for my redemption. Can we stand together, if you will, please? And I would just love it if we could take a few moments in our own personal way and give thanks to Jesus this morning. The priceless, perfect sacrifice that reached out from heaven to earth to deal with our issues, to take away our sin, to do what we can't do for ourselves. As I said, we can't beg sin for mercy, but we can ask God. We can bring our things to Jesus and ask Him for mercy. And He's faithful, and He's good, and He's just. So, right now, I'm just going to ask you to raise your voice. Don't be scared of your own voice here today. Just take a few moments. Begin to speak to Jesus. Give thanks. Why don't we do that right now? Just begin to talk to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I just thank you this morning that you love me so much, that you sent Jesus to be my redemption. Jesus, you are priceless. Jesus, I'm so thankful that you came. Jesus, I'm so thankful that you noticed me. Lord Jesus, let your Spirit minister to your people today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just want us to continue just for a few more moments in this attitude and atmosphere of thankfulness. We're going to go back to another song. And I just encourage you. You can touch Jesus here today. You can have an experience of the Holy Spirit right where you are. And maybe you need to be healed. Maybe you need to be forgiven. Maybe you need to have some chains fall off your life. Let Jesus do that to you this morning. This Good Friday, may it truly be a good day. God bless you, church.